the XXXXXXXX Files. Exploring feminism and technology through space and time. Good morning. You're listening to the XX Files. It's 11:33 in the morning. This is Miranda in studio today, and I'm here with Robin and Gabrielle from the podcast Soft Chew. They're here all the way from Toronto. I'm so excited. I was so excited to do this interview. I couldn't get to sleep last night, which seems very appropriate for the subject matter today. So Soft Chew is a podcast about ASMR artists and ASMR communities. So the people who are creating ASMR and the people who are watching it. And Robin and Gabby have developed this podcast where they research and actually communicate with and get to have conversations with artists making ASMR. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks so much for being in the studio today.
Thank you for having us.
Very exciting.
Yeah. I wondered if you could give a little intro to what ASMR means to you for those listening who don't really know what it is or have heard about it. But
yeah, for sure. I feel like when I talk to people about ASMR, they're either like, oh, yeah, I know that, or they've never heard of it. So it's a real divide.
It's a real divide. It's true.
It stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. And that basically doesn't mean much.
We've discovered, yeah, that is a term that was coined by the internet and doesn't make a lot of sense.
There's a huge community of people making content on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where this world has thrived and lives. And they're, you know, in 2011, there were maybe like 20, 30, 40 people making this stuff. Mm-hmm. And now there are, I don't know, thousands of ASMR creators.
We're told that it's like 8% of YouTube videos are ASMR. So it's really interesting because it's really, really niche and not everyone feels it. But it's found this really big home online, and it's this really special world that we're so excited to be in and researching and talking to people.
And it seems like really, reaching out to these artists is all that it takes to become part of this community.
Yeah, people talk about like being a member of the ASMR community, and we've kind of thought about that and talked about it a bunch. Like, are we members? Because a lot of people just watch the videos and don't really engage. But I feel like I'm now in some way a member of it, and just the fact that we've connected with these people a little bit, and they are really accessible from what we've found. Like, it's really, a lot of them just have email addresses up on their YouTube pages, and it's just a matter of sending them an email, and they've gotten back to us.
Yeah, I want to be a member so bad, but I don't know if I am. I feel like a huge fan more than anything.
You want to be what did you say?
A member.
Oh, I think you are
on the inside.
I learned about ASMR from Gabby because she was watching the videos every night.
I was going to ask, could you talk a little bit about how you were introduced to it or when you first realized you had ASMR?
Yeah, well, I feel like you should start, Gabby, because you, I feel like you knew about it long before I did.
Mine segues into your story. So I've had ASMR since I was a little kid, as far as I can remember. And I used to always get it from like my math tutor. I used to fall asleep being tutored in math because of it. And she was just like, wow, you're so disengaged. But I was like, I just had ASMR. And I also used to get it from Susan Fancy, who is like, I was tutored, and she was like the woman who like led the tutor area. And I just remember looking forward to that stuff because I would get so hypnotized by their voices. And I'd had it my whole life. And then I just used to watch a lot of like makeup tutorials because those voices would give it to me. And then someone sent me a video of like a Vice article, and it was about ASMR, and it was like this weird thing online. People are like, you know, brushing, like using hairbrushes on microphones. And I was like, oh my God. And I was like, I don't get it from that. I am very voice specific, or it's my trigger, but I was like, oh my God, this is exactly what I've had my whole life. And I've always tried to find videos online to trigger it. And I was like, my mind was blown that there was videos being made just for this. And I lived in the UK when I discovered it. And I remember just like my good friend there was like, you look like you're on heroin. Like, you look like you're on heroin. Cause I just like eyes glazed over like in front of my computer all day. Watching Whoa. These videos is a crazy revelation for me. And yeah, that's kind of my journey.
So Gabby came back from London, moved into my apartment in Toronto. Mm. And I would hear these like videos wafting out of her room.
Oh, wow.
So I can't remember actually the moment when I was like, what are you doing in there every day? But then she sent me some links to artists like Pigs Bum 53 and Gentle
Shout
Whispering.
Out.
Shout out. Mm-hmm. Some of the like big ASMR people. And I just kind of immediately was like, oh my God, this is insane and really cool and beautiful, and started watching them a bunch. And after watching them a bunch, then started to feel these brain tingles and things. And it's not something that I was like, oh my God, I've had this my whole life. Like a lot of people feel that kind of.
It was more gradual.
Yeah, it was gradual. I think I just was receptive to it and intrigued by it. And I still continue to kind of like, as I discover a new artist, I'll be like, oh yeah, I can get tingles from them or this trigger or that. And I think it's anyone can have it for sure.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. We're going to play a short clip from Soft Chew's first episode that's going to introduce you to an artist called Southern ASMR Sounds. Enjoy.
Soft Chew.
I can't remember when I started watching Southern stuff. Oh, actually, I remember the first video that I saw of hers. It was a library role play because Maria makes a really nice library role play. And so I was like, I like library role plays. I guess I'm going to look that up. And then she came up as one, and hers is really nice too.
That's such a good type of video, library ones.
Oh my God.
I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Typing, opening books, closing books.
Swiping your card. Yeah. Doesn't work.
They have to type something in manually.
Yeah.
Like all of your personal details and all of your interests.
The best is when they type it with long painted nails.
Yeah.
So long they can't even type properly. How did you go from listening to making? Like, what changed for you that you decided you wanted to create content?
That I have my therapist to thank for that. Actually, it was something I had thought about, you know, a little bit, but I was afraid, because even though I tell people all the time, face your fears, do what scares you, don't, you know, have confidence in yourself. I don't always have confidence in myself. And for a long time, you know, if I did think about it, I'd think, oh, I wouldn't be any good at it. I don't want to do that. You know, people, what would people say? They might not like it. They might make fun of me. I went through a really bad period of time back in 2015, and I had this great therapist that I started to see because I was really struggling with depression. And what we decided was I was spending way too much of my time taking care of everybody in my life myself. I was not taking care of myself at all. And I had just worn myself out, basically. And she said, you need to start focusing on you. You need to do more things for yourself that don't benefit anybody but you. So what would make you happy? What could you do that is totally selfish that you would make you happy? And we came up with a couple of things, but she said, no, you need more. And I said, well, there's this one thing, but I don't know. She said, well, what is it? I said, well, it's kind of stupid. She said, well, tell me what it is. I said, well, you know, I've kind of been thinking I might want to make YouTube videos. And she said, well, why don't you? I said, oh, I don't know. It might not be any good. And she really pushed me and said, just try it. You don't have anything to lose. Why not? So I made one that night, and I was instantly hooked on it. And I don't think I would have done it if she hadn't kind of pushed me into doing it. Well, she really did. She said, you need to start tonight. Why can't you do it? What do you need? I said, well, I could make one with my cell phone. She said, well, there you go. Make a video tonight. Don't wait. Just go home and do it tonight. And I did. And I was so scared. I was so nervous because I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. But I really loved it. And I instantly started thinking of other things I wanted to make videos about. And I was energized. I felt so great to have something that I could do that was just for me, that I enjoyed.
Hello. Today I would like to show you a few pieces of my jewelry. I have this little box. This isn't all my jewelry.
So we were just listening to the first episode of the podcast, Soft Chew. We were listening to ASMR, Southern ASMR Sounds' first video that she ever made.
At the end there.
It's so special to hear those first attempts. I've seen a couple in researching for this interview. It's amazing to see kind of the first efforts.
Oh, yeah. It's really magical. And also lots of people have kind of grown up in front of their listener base doing ASMR. So yeah, it's always cool to dive back into the first videos.
Yeah, I always liked when we would interview people on YouTube. You can filter by like their most viewed videos and their early, like, either their earliest ones or the latest ones. And I always love seeing the first one because some of them, especially their production value, has just like gone up so much and they've changed so much. It's really cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's nice to see the contrast between the very like humble beginnings. And then another episode we'll be hearing a clip from an ASMR artist called Olivia Kisper ASMR. She talks about creating a dome for ASMR and it's like very elaborate. It sounds like a light show or like almost like a circus performance.
Yeah from where she started to where she is now, she's kind of like fading away from the internet and just wants to do ASMR in real life.
Right,
she doesn't even really watch ASMR videos anymore. She's kind of like transcending that.
Could you talk a little bit about categories of ASMR or just totally. Hearing, we heard a bit of a library role play there. We're talking about like live ASMR.
Yeah, there's lots of categories. I think one of the huge ones is called personal attention, which involves somebody basically sitting in front of, like if you were watching the video, they would be looking at you, making eye contact. Usually their face takes up most of the frame and they might just be pretending to have a conversation with you as though you were one of their best friends or their siblings, or doing your makeup, giving you a spa treatment, brushing your hair.
Yeah.
And then, what else?
Gabby? Yeah, personal attention's a big one. That's like my favorite. But there's also like tapping videos. There's a lot that'll say like inaudible and it's just like someone kind of whispering, but it's not like, you can't really make it out. And they're like tapping things. Mm-hmm. There's also like a lot of offshoots now that people say is ASMR. Like there's like a big slime world, people making slime and touching it. And that's a sort of part of ASMR. There's mukbang.
Oh yeah. Mukbang,
eating. Which is eating videos, just people eating things. And, so there's lots of different things, but I think the original ASMR is personal attention videos is why.
Lots of whispering.
Yeah.
Speaking really low, personal attention.
Yeah. And there's like certain types of videos all the ASMR artists will make at some point. There's like an unboxing video of them like getting mail and opening it up, or a room tour, them like leading you through their room really quietly.
Or there was a big trend of like, it's called Draw My Life, where a lot of the ASMR creators would do like you would see them drawing kind of like their life story and explaining it at the same time.
I was going to ask about, I came across, I think, one of Southern ASMR's videos was just her like putting together, basically like putting together sandwiches, like with gummy and like
Sounds about
Boston
right.
lettuce and mustard. And it was kind of more of a, meant to be like a visual ASMR thing. And I don't think it was on that video, but on a different one, a commenter who identified themselves as deaf was saying, oh, this is the first video that I've I've felt ASMR since I haven't been able to hear.
Oh, wow.
And thinking about kind of how to make,
how
that world is accessible to
you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I find like people ask, can you just listen to it or do you have to watch too? And obviously mm-hmm. there are no rules and everyone kind of just gravitates toward what they like. But a big part of it for me is people using their hands in a really kind of gentle and specific way. And I could see how that would make people with, who have different levels of hearing respond really, really well to that kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's really interesting that they said that, because something we explore in the podcast is like the intimacy of ASMR and getting that like personal attention, even though it's a stranger who's not in the room, but that being a huge trigger. So I could see if it's still kind of the same fundamental, even if you can't hear, it's like you're getting this personal attention, one-on-one experience. So if you can hear it or you can see it, it could really work for anyone, I think.
We're going to play another clip of the second episode. This is an artist called Kara ASMR.
You know, you're reaching people in such remote areas that have so little potentially people around them who they feel like are like them. So it must be so amazing for this community, you know, in this community, there's so many different types of people, and it must just be so important to some people, like a lifeline, you know?
Yeah.
There's one thing, I was just on the same subject of kind of being a support group to each other. You end all of your videos. People who know you will know this already, but for those of you listening who don't know Kara, she ends all of her videos by saying, "You're beautiful and you're wonderful and you're loved." Where did that come from?
When I was in eighth grade, we have state testing. And so I was riddled with anxiety, and I already have anxiety as it is, so I was ready to throw up. And the teacher had come over by my desk during the test, when she probably wasn't supposed to, but she did anyway, and wrote on a piece of paper those three sentences. And it stuck with me, and I kept the paper. I ripped off the scrap paper, and I kept it all these years. And I use it as a positive message now.
Soft truth. Kara.
Sounds like just such a warm, beautiful person. And it's amazing for those of you who are listening, Robin and Gabby just call these people, and what is heard on the podcast is these very casual phone conversations. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of intimacy there. And I wonder, these people are so generous in sharing so much of their lives with you. And I wonder if that's changed the way you watch these videos, whether you still have the same sensations, or whether they're different sensations.
That's a good question. I feel like I want to like sit and think about that before answering. I will say though that I feel like everyone we've reached is they seem like they're so ready to just share anything we ask them. They want to talk about it. They want to get into it. I don't know. Do you want to speak to that, Gabby, at all?
Yeah, I think a lot of them also haven't really ever talked it out, kind of. So I think it's interesting when we interview people, you can kind of hear them connecting the dots about even like why they do it or why it's so important to them. So that's kind of one of the most amazing parts of them being so open, is like us kind of having these like questions beforehand planned, but then it kind of just opening them up to really be like, oh, maybe this is why I do this, or like that teacher that I had, you know, or yeah, that's kind of one of the best parts, I think, about them being so open. And, you know, we can just email them, as Robin was saying, but some of them are pretty big now, and they're a bit, some of the ones we really want to get on, like they're, you know, there's sort of like people around them now, and it's not as easy to get to them.
So there are people who are actually managed now.
Like, yeah.
In order to speak with an upcoming guest of ours, we had to go through her management, which
was really
interesting.
Mm-hmm. So there's one person that you talk about on the podcast who is like, you know, referred to as the Beyonce of the ASMR world or something like
yeah,
that.
That's Maria.
Have you spoken to her?
We actually haven't even reached out to Maria yet. Maria, who goes by Gentle Whispering. Okay. Not really, because I wouldn't be surprised if she got back to us right away, because she seems to do a lot of media stuff and she sits on panels and she's just a very generous person in general. Mm-hmm. But we're just like, we're not ready.
Yeah, we want
to be for season two.
Yeah. We want to be prepared.
Yeah.
That's a dream.
Yeah. But I think to go back to your question of if it changed anything for me, mm-hmm. is that what you were asking? Like whether it changed anything for me? I think I just feel happy. Like when I watch the videos of people we've spoken to, I just feel like a little bit more kind of connected to them. And mm-hmm. sometimes they'll reference things and I'm like, oh, I know about that. We talked about that. Or
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't ruin it. It doesn't like take off any kind of like magic from it for me.
Yeah. I think in general for videos, like it'll always be there for me, but I need the newness of it. So like anyone, like, I mean, I don't want to say this, but even Gentle Whispering, like I don't really get tingles that much anymore because I was like so saturated in it. So I always need a new person. That's what's always going to give me tingles, but I always visit my old friends and Car ASMR just because I like checking in and seeing what they're up to. But yeah, people have a bit of an expiry date for how long I can get tingles, which is pretty sad, actually.
We're going to play one more clip just to get to a clip from episode 3. This is Olivia Kisper ASMR, who we mentioned earlier. She's going to talk about maybe some negative effects of ASMR.
I was watching your recent video where you talk about whether ASMR is sexual, and then you just sort of talk a bit about the future of ASMR. And in it, mm-hmm. in it, you said something about people using ASMR in many different ways. And one of the ways you said was to indulge in their addictions instead of working to live aligned with their purpose. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I made one video a long time ago and I said, oh, ASMR is definitely not addictive. And then I thought about it and I thought, well, anything can be addictive. You know, it really depends how we're using it. And just looking at the numbers on YouTube, like how popular ASMR videos are. And I definitely feel that there is the part of us that can get addicted to ASMR videos just because they are so pleasant. And if we're using it for, you know, to escape our problems or to escape the life, because it's just so much more easy to turn a YouTube video on, then it's leaning towards to be more addictive rather than using it as you would use maybe a massage or something that can really enhance your life, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've never thought about it like that, but for me, because I have ASMR, I don't make videos, but I like I'm in a routine where I listen every night before bed, and I guess I am kind of like addicted, you know, like I can't fall asleep without it. I'm like sort of dependent on it.
Well then, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, it's really about how you you know, because each person is different, and it's really about how I think that, like, you know, like an honest introspection into like, oh, like really, am I really using, like if people are not able to ever sleep without those, then there's probably something going on, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's become such a bad ritual for so many people that they really are watching it every day. So yeah, it's probably something that could be explored in future, you know, like how healthy is ASMR and can be damaging. You know, there's nobody really talking. There's no, you know, it's such a new thing in a way. There's no long term, like nobody really knows what it does to us. But I believe it's very beneficial.
So that was Olivia Kisper ASMR talking about, I don't know, ASMR addiction. Can we call it that? I know, Gabrielle, you were saying that that's less a thing for you now, that you don't really watch it every day.
Yeah, I don't watch it as much anymore. And I think that we were talking about this morning, actually. We haven't been watching for a little while because we kind of got so into it with the show and everything. Yeah. But now that I'm going back to it, I'm like crazy triggered.
Wow,
like right? I'm back at it. Yeah.
Cool. Nice to be.
Yeah. Back at it.
It's nice to be here.
Yeah, I think it's like habits form and then you can evolve past them and then you can dive right back into that habit if you want to, if you feel the urge.
And it is, I mean, you know, one could say that it's definitely a very useful tool for people in communities with less access to like alternative healthcare or healthcare in general to have, I don't know, just multiple resources to, I don't know.
For sure. Yeah. And I think it gives people, even though it is kind of a little bit artificial in that they can't actually speak to the person, there is this really empathetic, non-judgmental connection from somebody who's just spending time with them. And if that generates, you know, some stress release or some help to help them sleep better, I think that that is only going to help them in their lives. So yeah, it's a good thing for people who are feeling isolated for sure.
Right. Yeah. And there's both sides of it. There's like the therapeutic part of listening and of making videos. So it's kind of equal. People making videos get just as much out of it and can work through stuff. So that's really, really interesting.
I wondered if I could ask you, I asked you to bring a little surprise of your favorite ASMR sounds that you can make.
Totally. It's not really fair, I feel like, because Gabby's fave sounds are mostly voices. Right, that's right, true. Gabby?
Well, I was going to say, I feel like your voices are very, you know, I feel like we might be creating some ASMR.
I think you have a really good ASMR voice.
Oh, thank you.
Especially through these microphones. I'm like tingling in my brain for sure.
I really am. I'm having some thoughts about doing some ASMR over the radio. Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. I do think radio is kind of a great medium for it because we can reach people infinitely in their kitchens and bedrooms.
And there's something that happens over, like, I get ASMR sometimes from people. I don't get it in real life, but on the phone, I talk to them on the phone, like the quality of what it does. So I think you're onto something, Miranda.
Just doing some sounds here in the background for people.
Do either of you think about inducing ASMR in your respective, like in music and film, in the fields that you work?
Yeah, I actually had a short-lived band called ASMR Buds, and we performed ASMR live. It was really tricky, though. I think we'll do it again, but we need to be a little bit more
you need a quiet space.
Yeah, you need a really specific kind of environment and like sound engineering to work really well with all the like high frequencies that you need to kind of create those sounds.
I'm currently squishing a Ziploc bag in front of the microphone. With some good props in the station today.
Yeah.
One of my, well, this is my last one. It's my favorite, is a little glass bottle. And just like people, they tend to like open them.
That's a really good one.
And close them.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Where's the beat?
Suoni Perilpopolo is back, and in real life for its 22nd edition. All the sights, sounds, and sensations of live music. After 2 years of online adaptation, Suoni is filling up the month of June with liberated music of all genres. Over 45 events and 90 participating artists performing indoors, outdoors, streamed for maximum accessibility. Record and book launches, workshops, a puppet show, a satellite Suoni happening in Wakefield, Quebec, of all places, and, of course, much more. For all the goodies, check out suoniperilpopolo.org. Masks will, of course, be required. For your audio program guide, tune in to the Montreal Sessions, Tuesday, May 24th, May 31st, and June 7th and 14th, from 3 till 5 p.m. The Swanee Crew hosts will be serving up highlights of what to expect at this year's festival. This is, of course, a CKUT co-presentation.
You are listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
Thanks to everyone who donated to CKUT's annual funding drive. Your generosity truly helps keep our engines burning. It's never too late to donate. You can do so by calling 514-907-9424 or going to ckut.ca and hit the green Make a Pledge button at the top. All paid entries will be entered into a grand prize draw. You can pay your pledge and pick up your gift weekdays between 11 to 6 p.m. or by appointments. Call 514-907-9424. Thank you.